Well, praise the Lord today. So good to be in his house. Please turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. I believe there are two things the Lord wants in every believer's possession, in every believer's hand, that every believer be trained and skilled. The use and ministry of these. He started as a shepherd boy who looked after sheep. David. We pick up the text, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite. For I have provided myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves. Come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was, when they came, that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest. And there he is, keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Verse 13, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah." Something was going on in the kingdom. Something was happening. Saul had fallen out of favor with the Lord. King Saul, having fallen out of favor with the Lord, his spirit departing from him. And through the prophet in chapter 15, the Lord said, "I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. And the command came, 'Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. And do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey.'" King Saul and those with him, they moved out. And after the attack that was supposed to be executed precisely according to the instruction of the Lord, the prophet Samuel had another message for King Saul. 1 Samuel 15, beginning of verse 14, but Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." Then Samuel said to Saul, "Be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord has said to me last night." And he said to him, "Speak on." So Samuel said, "When you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed.' Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?" Saul said to Samuel, "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, the king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but, you know, the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king." You know, church, we could just pause here for a moment, declare the truth, that the Lord delights in obedience. A king rejected the holy and righteous judgment of the Lord. And now the Lord was on the lookout for a replacement. He said to the prophet, "Fill your horn of oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse. For I have provided myself a king among his sons." Incredible. The Lord providing himself a king. A king of his making, a king of kingdom quality and kingdom cause, a king with a holy pulse in his chest, a king of divine order. The king the Lord provided for himself. He had two items in his possession. And concerning these two items, he was both trained and skilled. Trained and skilled in the use of these, and now a new anointing came upon him, a kingly anointing, the very Spirit of the Lord. This young man, called in from the fields, called in from keeping the sheep, brought in. And the prophet Samuel takes the horn of oil and anoints him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord comes upon David from that day forward. Man may have overlooked the shepherd boy. Thank God for his eyes. And God knew where he was, his location, his coordinates. Listen, the Lord knows. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. 1 Samuel 16. I mean, this is how it's unfolding. Verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said to him, "Surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well." So Saul said to the servants, "Provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me." Then one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I have seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him." Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread and a skin of wine and a young goat and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly. And he became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse saying, Please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight." And so it was, whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp, his harp, and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Look at the workings of the Lord. Harp in hand, a holy transfer in the kingdom. Saul rejected, David accepted in God's sight. A harp. Ministry unto the Lord. And ministry unto others. To lift heaviness and distressing spirits. The ministry of song, an inspired and anointed composition. And spiritually speaking, church, every believer can possess a harp. Every believer can be trained and skilled and anointed. The Lord had his man. The day came when Philistines gathered their armies together to battle. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in a valley. They drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and a valley was between them. You know, valleys ain't all that bad. A champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath. Many of us are familiar with the historical account. The voice of a giant, the taunting, the belittling, the challenge. The text, 1 Samuel 17, verses 8 to 11, "Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said, 'Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us.' And the Philistines said, 'I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.' When Saul and all Israel heard these words, the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." Now remember what's going on in the kingdom, what God's doing. Do you remember that ruddy young man? At this time, he was back home, for David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. his brothers had gone out to battle, they were among the dismayed and greatly afraid. David was sent to the battle by his father, carrying provisions, carrying grain, loaves, and cheeses to see how his brothers fared and to bring back news of them. And so off he went, traveling, and he was carrying something else with him that day. 1 Samuel 17, verse 20 to 24. So David arose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, the stature, the features of this giant, the look, the presentation, the presence, when they saw him, they fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. Verses 26 and 27, David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him and said, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." You know, one of David's brothers got after him. He was angry. His anger aroused against David. His unholy utterance. He said, "Why did you come here? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you've come down to see the battle." Even here, his brother is belittling him, his brother accusing him, his brother judging him. Perhaps he should have recognized the anointing on his life. The cry of the young man, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" So the man went and reported David's words to Saul. And so we pick up the text in verse 33. Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." The young person in the house today, note David. Verses 34 to 37, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God.' Moreover, David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" Grains, loaves, cheese, the supplies he left in the hand of the supply keeper. But there was something else in David's possession that day. At this moment, Saul, he tries to clothe David in his own armor. Have you ever wondered, was it to protect David? Was it to have it look like it was Saul on the field of battle? That if somehow this young man would prevail, he, Saul, would get the credit? Was it to have his armor and weapons be the reason for victory and triumph? Sword of Saul. Verses 38 and 39, so Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. You know, okay, I just encourage everybody here today, if someone tries to clothe you for battle in things not tested, take them off. He couldn't walk with these. You see, David, these were not anointed for David, and David was not anointed for these, at least not at this time. He needed to use that which the Lord had placed in his hand, that which he was trained for and skilled with, that which was anointed for his use, and that which he was anointed to use. I know we're taking in a lot of text today, verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. Item number 2, a sling. A sling to take down giants. I want to ask today, I believe the Holy Spirit would ask each person in this room, what sling is in your hand? What has the Lord given you? The tested, the means, the provision, the weapon, the skill for use in battle, the anointed. What has God placed in your hand? Might it be of use for battle? To bring down a giant? To take away the reproach? A sling? Pick it up at verse 41. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, belittled him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Listen, he didn't say, I come to you with a sling. I come to you with my sling. This is a man after God's own heart. David knew where the power was. He knew the power was in the name of the Lord, coming in the name of the Lord. He didn't glorify himself or his sling. Spiritual victory is never our own. It comes from our deliverer. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead. And he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. You know, this might seem real simple today. The ministry of a harp and the ministry of a sling. If the Lord can get a harp and a sling in our hands, if we will let Him train us, if we will become skilled, if we will carry ourselves and position ourselves for the receiving of an anointing, a harp, ministry unto the Lord, ministry unto others, to lift heaviness and distressing spirits, the ministry of song, inspired and anointed composition, and spiritually speaking, church, every believer can possess a harp. Every believer can be trained and skilled and anointed to use a harp. A harp consoles. A harp sets free. A harp lifts. A harp cheers. A sling, ministry for the Lord, ministry for self, and ministry for others. You say ministry? Yes. Bringing down giants. A giant slaying ministry. A tested sling, and the Lord would have it the same for us. What is the sling He's put in your hand? The sling He's called you to use. You're skilled and trained to use. You're anointed to use. A sling for the cause, for there is a cause and there are causes yet. A sling slays. A sling clears the landscape. A sling takes out dark champions and sends armies running. And you know what? A sling heals as well. A medical sling. We use a medical sling to aid when there is injury and perhaps a fitting image. And yet, does not the weapon that is a sling heal? Heals dismay and fear. Heals the hearts of the brethren, the army of the Lord. Heals failing hearts. Listen to this text, verses 50 to 54. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted. Remember, afraid, greatly dismayed. And here they are. They arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley into the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell on the road, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way, but a sling puts the courage and fight back into an army. A sling puts the shout back into Israel and Judah. A sling puts the chase, a pursuing spirit, back into the army. And what a plundering that day. Victory and plunder. Lord God, grant us the plunder. 1 Samuel 17, verses 55 to 58. When Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. So the king said, inquire whose son this young man is. Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, and the head of the Philistine was in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? So David answered, I'm the son of your servant, Jesse the Bethlehemite. I mean, you're telling me they didn't recognize him? Man, this seems odd. It seems strange. Was it the touch of God on him? Go and the Lord be with you. Was it an anointing for battle? Was it the deliverance of the Lord upon his life? Was it that they only had eyes for the ruddy boy who played a harp? Perhaps they couldn't believe it. The stock of a Bethlehemite, a shepherd boy, a giant killer. I want to encourage every person in the house today, no matter the age, ask the Lord for a harp and ask the Lord for a sling. And let the Spirit speak to you concerning these. Let him train you. Become skilled. And let him anoint you. But you got to have a heart like David. You got to be like David. You see, David was content to play the harp in the field, ministering before an audience of one. David was content to play the harp in the familiar field, playing over the sheep. Be content to use the sling in the field, hurling stones at targets. Be content to carry grains and loaves, to carry supply. You never know the day the Lord will call you out and call you up and give you a realm of different influence. You never know when he'll have you play the harp for the deliverance of another. You never know when he'll have you slay a giant with your sling. A harp and a sling. Items tested. Walk with these. Do battle with these. Fight with these. 1 Samuel 13, 14. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. Acts 13, 22. He raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave their testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Can have the worship team return. The message paraphrase, I've searched the land and found this David, son of Jesse. He's a man whose heart beats to my heart. A man who will do what I tell him. Ask the Lord for a harp and a sling. You know, think about it today. How beautifully David ministered to the Lord. And does not his harp continue to minister to us? Even those times when things seemed out of tune, what a treasury when we read the Psalms. The treasury of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And his sling, it still speaks and ministers to us. The Goliath slaying sling. And its smooth stone from the brook weathered so perfectly, how it pierces the air, striking, sinking into the forehead of the giant, pinning the corpse to the earth. Ask the Lord for a harp and a sling. They do go together. They do fit the man. And the Lord will use us and lead us concerning the ministry of these. You know, it's been said that David hung his harp above his bed, and when midnight would arrive, the north wind would blow upon the harp, vibrating the strings and causing music to emanate. David would immediately rise. Is it true? Could it be? You see, we often need the harp there in the night. Favorable and less favorable, to wake us, to rouse us. And were there times David took that harp in hand, inspired by the playing of the wind? O wind, O spirit, move upon our harps, play your songs. Psalm 119:62, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee. Hey, it might just be true. Psalm 71:22, I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth. O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. A harp and a sling. I believe the Lord would want these two items in every believer's possession, and that they would be in use when they need to be in use. That we would be skilled and trained and anointed in the use of these. I wonder today, is there captivity in the house? Now, these scriptures I'm about to read, this psalm, Psalm 137, it's not on the big Bible behind me. So, you know, if you brought your paper Bibles, which we should bring to church, hallelujah, just open up to Psalm 137 if you'd like. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there those who carried us away captive asked of us a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy, remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, that is, make bare. To its very foundation, O daughter of Babylon, who are to be destroyed, happy the one who repays you as you have served us. Happy the one who takes and dashes your little ones against the rock. I want to encourage the people of God today, even here, even now, let the wind blow upon our harps. Let's hear our harps that we've hung up. Let's sing. Let's take the harp. Sing for your strength. Sing and play. Perhaps your captor will be captivated. Sing for your freedom. Sing the song of the Lord. Play and sing a song of strength against injustice, against the daughter of Babylon. Fill Babylon with praise and worship. You never know the impact. David's sling. I wonder if there were times he gazed upon it, remembering the victory of the Lord. Times when he needed encouragement. Times when he needed solace, even there. And even here, you'd begin thanking the Lord for past deliverance as he gazed upon the sling. And maybe you're here today and you are in need of deliverance now. Remember the sling. Gaze upon it. Take it up and let the Lord use it once again. These words are so true. It is for our own benefit that God tells us to remember. The memory of our past deliverances helps to increase our faith for what we are going through right now. Recall the incredible faithfulness of God and the past victories He has given you. We know David did. Has a Goliath been brought out? Yeah, you've played the harp. Has a Goliath been brought out? I share these words. At times we cry enough and draw a line in the sand. We tell ourselves, I'm tired of being beaten up by the enemy. But the devil keeps crossing that line. This happened to Israel as they faced the Philistines. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley between them. Valley floor. You know, I can't help but just think of the words, David. You know, yea, though I walk through the valley. This valley, did that stop the enemy? Not at all. The Philistines brought out a greater weapon in the form of Goliath, a giant of a man. David knew he was no match for Goliath, but he also knew that the battle wasn't his, but God's. When he heard Goliath's taunts, he testified, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand and I will strike you down, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, for the battle is the Lord's and he will give you into our hand." Again, I want to say today, spiritual victory is never our own. It comes from our deliverer. And you know what? There's never been a fight he hasn't won. If that's all you remember today, walk out of this place. There's never been a fight he hasn't won. And there never will be a fight that he won't win. Let harps sound and slings fly. God is faithful to train, equip, anoint, and use everyone with a heart after his own heart. Those that carry out his will, all that he desires, and he is faithful to grant desires unto us. Is it the harp today or the sling? And you know, there be times when the day requires the use of both. Even moments where the harp and the sling are both in action, you say, impossible. Nothing's impossible. A harp and a sling. A harp and a sling. Ask the Lord for a harp. Perhaps your ministry unto the Lord is not what it should be. Ask the Lord for a harp. Perhaps you've hung up your harp in Babylon. Take your harp down this morning and start to play. How's your ministry unto the Lord? You see, God found David a man after his own heart. David wasn't out there trying to promote self and, you know, figure things out. And man, if I can only get to the next level, this is so lame. I'm playing a harp in a field. Nobody can hear me. You know, whatever the harp represents today, but here we're talking about ministry unto the Lord first and foremost. David was content to be in the field where nobody saw him and play before an audience of one. That is the greatest ministry we have, church. Ministry unto the Lord. He was content to play over the sheep. Listen, guess what? When the prophet came to anoint a king, David wasn't even called in. God knew where he was. Brother number one, nope. Brother number two, nope. Brother number, nope. Is there no one else? A man after God's own heart. Be content. And then David knows he's anointed king. And he's content with God's timing. He's humble. He goes and he ministers with the harp. And then he heads back and he didn't say, "Yo, Dad, you go look after those sheep. You know, like I'm king." No, he was humble. He went and looked after the sheep again. This man remained humble, a man after God's own heart. Back and forth, ministry. You know, he's ministering with the harp and the sling, the harp and the sling. Wow. All of a sudden, there's this great battle. Reproach upon the army of the Lord. An army defying God. Hey, son, take some supplies. I don't need to repeat the whole story, but son, take some supplies. Man, God used David. What has the Lord put in your hand? The harp ministry unto the Lord, but the sling, would you just ask him? Maybe you don't even know what it is. And you say, God, put a sling in my hand. What is the sling? Maybe it's something you already have, something God has anointed you to use, a gifting, a talent, opportunity, influence, means, finances. What is it? You see, David took down the giant using what was tested, using what he knew how to use, what God had anointed him to use, not what God had anointed someone else to use. And perhaps that's a word we need to hear today. We ask you, Lord, I ask you, Spirit of God, reveal to each one today. Reveal to each one today what that sling is. A sling to bring down giants. And Lord, perhaps we're not there yet, but a sling for target practice and a sling to take down other enemies, oh God. And Lord, may we always be a people with a harp in hand. Ministry unto you and ministry for others. I pray that we would understand that we are called to the body ministry. Lord, those that know you and even those that don't know you, God, that as we minister with the harp, we can see distressing spirits leave. God, be glorified in this house. Let's stand today.